As we come to a time to pray today, we want to remember the five that got on a plane yesterday heading to Ecuador. I guess they're there now. And we'll be working in a mission setting from this church. They took about 200 book bags that you helped color and create. And so they will be distributing those. And we'll have some good stories, I'm sure, to tell when they get back next week. We want to remember the Curran family, or the Halsey family. Michelle Halsey's father, Mr. Paul Curran, died. The visitation is this evening at Hazel Green Funeral Home, and tomorrow morning at 11 is the service. I want to remember those. And there'll be a time in the prayer for you to name a concern, or to name a name, perhaps, of a praise or a concern. Let us go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord of life, giver of all that is, you who were before we were, and you who will be after us. Lord, we give thanks that your life is in our life, and our life is in your life. That your Spirit draws us to you and urges us to pray. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is difficult these days. For those whose work is hard. For those who struggle with physical limitations. For those who don't remember so well. We pray for those who are far from home, for all who are dislocated and disjointed and in times of upheaval. We pray for people who live in poverty, for whom every day is a hard struggle to take care of ones they love. For those who are out of work and seek work. We pray for those who are in places of war and violence and oppression. May your gift of peace break out. For those who are in the presence of death, we pray they may experience the promise of resurrection and light and life. Lord, hear the prayers of your people just now. Oh, Lord, you who hear prayers, prayers we speak with our lips, prayers of our hearts, you who know the things we cannot even put into words, but hear, and are always ready to bring help and comfort. Oh Lord, help us to desire you and you alone. All these things we ask with confidence in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say together and to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I want to share a parable that Jesus told. It's found on the 13th chapter of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around them, and he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, thanks be to you for your word of life. Open our ears that we may hear the good news you would have for us on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think I have lost my green thumb. This was my garden about 4 years ago. And you see those tall, spiky things coming up? They look kind of like fireworks. Those are called cat whiskers plants or spider plants or cleom. And as you can, those things are 5 or 6 feet tall. I used to be able to grow those. I don't know what. But they've got a seed that looks like little pepper, black pepper flakes, tiny. 250 of them with about a half a teaspoon. When they finally grow, now they stink, and the stalks have spikes on them, and they're real sticky, and you get sap on your head. But boy, they're impressive to look at. And this year, I have I bought 3 packets, 250 seeds. I put them out. I put out 750 seeds. At count yesterday, I had 5 plants had come up. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether I planted them too deep or too shallow. Don't know if it's too much water, not enough water. Who knows? Phase of the moon? I have no idea. Why, I used to grow them, but I can't grow them. The seeds just won't germinate. Jesus knew about the seeds that wouldn't germinate. Now, we know Jesus was a carpenter, but he was also a farmer. Everybody was a farmer in the villages in Nazareth in those days. Everybody grew food, and you might be a carpenter or have something on the side, but Jesus tells all these wonderful stories that are about seeds growing and about plowing and about harvesting and about he knew all about farming. But for Jesus and the people that live with him, seed sprouting was not just a hobby like it is for me. I mean, seed sprouting, it was a matter of having something to eat or not. I mean, you know, it was pretty important that your seed sprouted and grew grain. Or you might miss some meals. I don't miss meals when my cat's whiskers flowers don't bloom. Jesus tells this story, and it's amazing. It's short, just a few sentences, but much of the story is taken up, the number of words, with talking about the obstacles to growing plants. He talks about the perils of farming, the adversity a farmer faces. He lists all the things: hard-packed soil, birds that take your seed away, shallow soil, rocky soil, lack of moisture, too much scorching sun, weeds, thorns. He lists all those things in some detail. And you begin to get the idea, man, this, number one, Jesus had tried to grow some things that didn't, and he had struggled. But the other thing you realize is all of the Jesus stories are about something else. They're parables. So he uses something you understand, in this case seeds and plants growing, to talk about something that's less clear. He uses the ordinary images to talk about the holy and the extraordinary. He uses the visible images to talk about invisible things and realities. It occurs to me that what Jesus is talking about is not simply how to grow a garden or how to plant. He's talking on the one level about the adversities that a farmer faces, but it brings to my mind all of the obstacles and barriers and perils and trials and difficulties that every one of us face. I mean, we wish the things that we face were as simple as birds and seed. Now, don't get me wrong. Back in those days, if the birds took all your seed, you might starve. Your life might be in peril. What imperils our life? Well, it's things like cancers and infections and chronic diseases and accidents. It's things like abuse that was done to us in the past that won't stop hurting, or abandonments that happened in the past and still leave us frightened, or addictions that drive us. Or things like job loss or business failures. It's things like injustices that were done to us. Things that were wrong, should not have happened, but did. Betrayals. And then there's storms, and there's wildfires, and there's earthquakes, and there is senseless violence, terrorism. All of those things that imperil our lives and hurt us, threaten us. That's what, for us, the birds and the thorns and the seeds would be, things that threaten our very lives. What Jesus tells his story for, I think, is to tell us the good news that though adversity comes into every life, what also comes into our life, if we're open to it, is miracle and abundance. In this story, if you tell a joke right, you get to the end and there's a punchline. The punchline of this parable, Jesus enumerates all of the problems, the obstacles, the problems, and then it gets to the very end. And yet, one seed, one little seed put into the ground that does sprout, when it sprouts, it would produce a plant, and that plant might have a seed head with 30 more seed. Or 60, or 100. Think of that. You put one tiny seed into the ground, it sprouts, and it makes a seed pod or a head of a wheat, sheaf of wheat, 100 grains to one. He starts talking about the adversity, and then he gets to the miracle. 30-fold, that would be great. You put one in, you get back 30. 60-fold, 100-fold. Just from one. In spite of the adversity, there is this abundance, this miracle. Many seeds don't sprout, but the ones that do will be enough. This story is really the whole gospel in miniature. It's the whole Jesus story, really. But because this amazing story of Jesus that we find in the gospels is that even though there is adversity, we might find that adversity can also be the door to abundance, even miracle. Jesus talks about it, and we still try to get our heads around it. He says, how blessed are those who are poor. Now, wait a minute. Poverty and blessing? How blessed are the poor in spirit? Wait a minute. Being low in your spirit and being blessed. How blessed are the persecuted? Wait, those things don't go together. It's paradoxical. It's backwards. It seems like the way up is down. And then Jesus says things like, the one who loses his life, her life, will find it. Wait a minute. Jesus says, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, is the way he puts it, that means dies to being a seed, he said, but then it comes to new life. The message of Jesus is that, first, we need to understand, the message of Jesus is not that if you follow me, life will be easy or cozy or without trouble. You're probably going to have those whether or not you follow Jesus. But the message of Jesus is that in spite of the troubles, in spite of the adversity, in spite of the perils, God can open us to an abundance, to an abundance. Think about it. What's the story of Jesus' life? He's this man who comes and he teaches, but he's misunderstood. He's rejected by his family, one story says, by his hometown people, by the religious leadership, by the national leadership. He's rejected. He's betrayed. They lie about him. He's beaten. He suffers. He dies. One adversity after another. Jesus is a life, in the words of the Old Testament, a man acquainted with sorrows. So you got this life. But the story ends with Jesus raised. Jesus knew by heart this wisdom that's contained in this little parable. That it's there for all of us to see and to know that unless the seed is buried, it will not come to new life. Now, we don't go looking for trouble. My mother used to say, don't borrow trouble. You know, we worry about stuff. Don't borrow trouble. We don't go looking for obstacles. They will find us. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You know, bad things happen to good people. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the rain that falls that makes the flood in the Midwest also, you know, waters the fields in other places. We don't have to go looking for troubles. They're simply part of life on planet Earth, many of them. But here's the good news. It's that God transforms adversity, even death, into more life. And here's the strange thing. It is sometimes the very experience of desolation, not something we wanted or sought, but sometimes it's the very experience of disappointment or failure or humiliation or adversity that opens us up to the possibility of new life, what God wants to give. And that's probably because when things are going well in our lives, we don't particularly seek God. We kind of believe that old Benjamin Franklin thing. God helps those who help themselves. As long as we can help ourselves, we're doing okay. But there comes those times when something happens that we cannot fix. We can't fix it. We can't change it by ourselves. The times when we fail or we fall or we're humiliated, and that's then when we experience our deep need for the miracle of God with us. That's what Matthew begins by saying. The miracle he's going to talk about is God with us. It seems for us, sometimes it's like the way it is for lodgepole pines. You know about lodgepole pine trees? They grow out west, particularly in the northwest. They are these, if you see them growing, they are these straight pines, and they're not big. Native Americans valued the lodgepole pines for just that purpose. They would strip them down and cure them, and they would use them for the poles for teepees, or if they built more permanent lodges, they would be the rafters. They're these straight, light, strong poles, lodgepole pines. What's interesting is about the seed of the lodgepole pine. They are locked in a cone, like a pine cone, but it is encased in a resin, this sap, and it is impervious to light, and it's impervious to water. And so you got these seed that will grow more lodgepole pines, but they're locked in tight. They are impervious and don't send out the seeds until they are singed by brush fire or a wildfire or a forest fire. The heat melts the resin and the cone opens and the seeds fall out. And only then does new life come. It's only with the heat and only with the stress that this new life bursts forth. I am not one who believes that God sends storms to teach us the importance of good neighbors. I don't think God works like that. But I do believe that when bad things happen, God brings good out of it. I don't believe that God sends us addictions so that we will be humbled and have to rely on a higher power to heal us. But I do believe that God can even use something as horrible as our addictions to draw us closer to Him. I don't believe that God sends heart attacks or strokes or cancer so we will appreciate the miracle of life or the gift of every new day or the wonder of every breath we take. I don't believe God works like that. But I do believe that God will use what happens to us to bring out of us a new depth of life and gratitude, and will create for us the possibility of a closer walk with Him. It's almost as if God does not want us to waste our sufferings, because they're going to happen. God will make something out of them, something good we could not have even imagined, maybe. The gospel story has this interesting little detail. It says that when Jesus is raised and comes back to new life after death, He has wounds, scars. His scars are still visible. He's healed, but the scars are there. Even in His new life, there's this reminder of adversity from an old life. Here's the thing. The witness of the gospel and what we Christians testify to is that what God did for Jesus, He will do for us. God is in the new life business. God will raise us up after our woundings. Many times it will happen this side of the grave. Sometimes the healing must come after this life, we're convinced. But we always believe God is the one who heals our wounds, who raises us up. You know, I had trouble growing those cat whisker flowers. Maybe what I should have been trying to grow was morning glory. God was trying to make morning glory when He made kudzu. I mean, kudzu is on the way to being as prolific as morning glory. If you have a garden, if you're a gardener, if one bird flies over and gives you the gift of a single seed, they will sprout and they will be up in a few days, and they will be twining around everything else. And you will have them forever if they go to flower and then to seed in abundance. Springing up in every crack in your driveway, in every spot, there's just a little soil and a little bit of moisture. A wild abundance. One of them, I guess, leads to 30 more, 60 more, 100 more. So maybe what I should have been growing if I wanted abundance was a morning glory. And it's not a bad symbol of the way that God's love entwines us, jumps up to wrap us up. They're called invasive. Morning glories are. They're pretty to look at. But they're called invasive, which I guess is a pretty good way of talking about this love of God that will not let us go. thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Oh, Lord of life, You know our woundings, our hurts, our pains, our disappointments, our failures. You know it as we are. There's no denying. And yet we know that You come to us. Whenever we consent to be with You, You consent to be with us. Your desire is always to be with us and to heal us and to help us and to give us a future. So, Lord, we pray for our hurts and our failings and our woundings. Strengthen us. Show us ways forward. All these things we ask with confidence in the name of the One who was and is to come. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand for a blessing? Now go into the world in peace, and though there be adversity, though there be perils, know there is One who goes before you, One who is stronger, One who was there from the beginning and will always be. Jesus, the Son, His Father, the One who created us, loved us, and the Holy Spirit that's with us forever. Go in His power and His love. Amen. Amen.